this morning called Becoming Sons. Everybody say Becoming Sons. It's like six of you. Everybody say it together, Becoming Sons. Becoming Sons, right? So, guys, I've taught this before, but I just feel like this is where we need to go with this. There's a, and we're going to dig deeper into it, amen. But as I told you a few weeks back, we're going to be dealing with, we're going to deal with an orphan spirit. And the way that you, the antidote for an orphan spirit is sonship. Amen. The antidote for an orphan spirit is sonship, right? Can we turn the lights up in the sanctuary? Kaz over there, or Vlad, thank you, sir. It's like really bright up here and dark out there. Basically, y'all, here's the deal. Even on Father's Day, we had one guy shared a little bit about this, and he said, look, that the moment we get saved, right, the moment that you say yes to Jesus, you say whatever your sinner's prayer is that you said or whatever, and sometimes you could do it at your home. You don't even do that at church. Amen. But whatever you said yes to Jesus, you said, yes, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want him to be my Lord. That moment, church, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came in you and made you a son. The spirit of adoption came and made his home inside of your heart, and he made you a son of God legally. Amen? Right? And so by that momentary, that moment that happened, you automatically were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, the Bible says. Is that right? Right? It's many times I've taught this. I'm going to keep teaching it because we got to take it. We got to make sure we're getting it right and tearing it apart. But the goal of Christianity is not a relationship with Jesus. It's a restoration to the Father. Jesus tells us that right in the Bible, church. I don't know how we're messing that up. Amen. No man comes to the Father but through me, he says, right? But what's the point? Go to the Father. He doesn't say nobody comes to me but through me. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Right? If the Holy Spirit, if the goal was to be, was just Jesus, then the Holy Spirit would be the spirit of brotherhood, or the spirit of something like that. But he's called the spirit of adoption because we're supposed to be restored as children to the heart of the Father. Right? Jesus, when he's leaving, says, one of the times that he's leaving, he says, listen, I'm not going to leave you as what, church? Orphans. Right? But I will come. Isn't it interesting? I will come to you. So we see the separation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but then the one again, right? He doesn't say, I'm not going to be yours, but another's going to come. I'm going to come back to you, but I'm going to come back as an adoptive spirit, right? So that we know that he's our Father, yeah? So a few weeks back, I'm just going to review this just briefly. We looked at independent thinking. You guys remember that? Independent thinking? Maybe 3 weeks ago, and I just want to just review it very, very briefly because this is very important to get for where we need to go with this. The scripture we looked at was in Proverbs, and it says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death, right? And we know many other scriptures in Judges and things like that. It talks about that everyone was doing what's right in their own eyes, right? We see that concept many times in the Bible. And what the Lord had said to me very clearly was that, look, we tend to think about somebody who's doing something real bad when we read stuff like that, right? Everything's right in their own eyes, and they're just out, you know, drinking, you know, bar hopping and all kinds of sin. But the Lord says, no, 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 it'll eventually go that way. But what happens, the drift starts when I just start looking at what God says about something, and then I start going, yeah, but Ben, I just don't know if that's going to work for me, though. You know, that whole tithing thing, man, I don't know. You don't know what kind of bills I got, and you don't know what kind of situation I'm in, so I don't know about the whole tithing thing. I'll give a little bit, but I don't know about that whole 10% thing, and then maybe a little bit extra on top. I don't know. That's just not going to work. I don't know about that whole forgiveness thing, man, because you don't know what that person did to me. They really, really betrayed my trust. Man, I really trusted that person. They hurt me bad, so that's it. I'm not going to do that again. I don't like getting planted in a you know, planted under a person of authority. I don't like somebody to tell me, you can't tell me what to do. Right, church? We've got all these mindsets that creep up, and they don't seem that bad initially, right? We're not, rebellion doesn't just blow up into this massive, ugly thing overnight. It starts with little, tiny steps away from the scriptures, amen. The Bible tells us, church, listen, submit to those who are in authority over you as the ones that watch over your soul so that it might go well with you. Not with the one who's in authority, with the one who's under authority. Right? Why? Because the rest of the verse says, because the ones in authority have to give an account to God about how you behaved under their authority. So I can't lie to God about it, right? I'm a person in authority, so someday everybody's ever been under authority in my church has got, I'm going to have to give an account to God for it, right? And I'm going to have to say, well, they're all right, but you know, they look crazy over here a little bit, right? Because God already knows it, right? Amen. It's good preaching. See, the warning from Proverbs, church, is talking about people who are convinced that what they're doing is right. It's not people that are doing crazy things and don't care. Right? It's when we do what we think is right, but it's not right in the scriptures. Right? How many times have you ever been praying for somebody and you feel like you got to handle it one way and the Lord says, no, you need to do this instead. And you're like, yeah, but that doesn't, there's no way. That seems mean. That seems cold. It seems they're going to feel like I'm rejecting them. They're going to feel like, right? But you know the Lord is telling you, no, do it this way, right? We've got an awesome testimony. I won't say nothing about it, but next Sunday there is an awesome testimony coming from a lady in our church who dealt with something for years and had to make some really hard choices, and the whole thing has come full circle around, restored all, I mean, stuff that she thought was gone. God has brought it full circle all the way back around. But church, it takes a while, amen? Sometimes it's dry, and we're in a dry season. We don't know what's going on. We're like, man, where is God? What is going on? I've been praying. I've been doing this. I've been giving. I've been serving. And man, I don't see nothing coming. Nothing's right. And we get frustrated. We get discouraged. We get all these things. But God's saying, stay on track. Yeah? So the thrust of these next few weeks is going to be really trusting Abba. Let's all say that together. Really trusting Abba. Man, who's Abba, right? Abba, Father, right? Abba, Father, right? And when I say really trusting Abba, I mean like really trusting him, because let's face it, church, we've all got areas that in our lives that we are susceptible to doubt. Right? We're susceptible to fear. We're susceptible to anxiety. We're susceptible to, right, just times where like, man, there's just no way. There's no way that that's going to work. Amen? The issue, church, is not that we don't know what to do. It's when it comes down to actually doing it that we go, right? Amen? And last little statement here, and then we're going to get right into this sermon here, because this is vital for this next few weeks as well. Faith, guys, if we think about, we talk about faith a lot in church. We love to quote Hebrews 11:1, right? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen, right? We love quoting that one. But I've always read that verse, and I'm like, what on earth does that actually mean, though? Right? We put Hebrews 11:1 on Facebook. We talk about it all the time, but then it's like, but how do I make Hebrews 11:1 actually work? Right? Like how do I, okay, great, wow, Hebrews 11:1, oh, praise God, you know, but what does it look like when I walk out the door of church after somebody lays hands on me and prophesies that over my life, and, you know, it's the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. You're like, oh, all right, cool. So, well, here's the clue, church, is which you got to read the rest of the chapter. Because the rest of the chapter tells you exactly what faith looks like. By faith, Noah built a boat. By faith, Abraham left his family. by faith, right? See, church, faith is not, we make it this abstract, weird thing, and sometimes it is. Sometimes faith is just going, okay, I got to go this direction. I don't know how long. I don't know where I'm ending up. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. I know I got to go this way, though. But sometimes, church, God puts something right in front of our face and says, I want you to do that in faith. Right? But no, it's this weird thing, right? So we think about obedience to the scriptures, different things. Church, obedience to the scriptures is an act of faith. We want some big, like, oh, you know, that God gave me this dream and he gave me this big, brr. Man, look, we've got a whole book full of stuff that God says do it like this. Amen. Matthew 11, y'all there? Yes? You guys are quiet. Quiet. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you, what, church? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for what? For your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Just to, there's some new folks here. I want to just give a little background on this particular thing. Several years back, the Lord spoke this to me, this passage, and he said to me, asked me this question, why did I say rest twice in a row? Right? Verse 28 is rest. Verse 29 is rest. I had no idea. So I went and looked it up, and the interesting thing I found, church, was that it's two different Greek words that Jesus uses, right? So we read in English, blow right through it. But Jesus actually used two different words. And so now that I know that, it drives me crazy when somebody quotes verse 28 to somebody. Hey, man, just come to Jesus. He's going to give you rest. And I'm like, keep going. Keep going. Okay, and here's why we got to keep going. Because the first word rest, church, that Jesus used, if you directly translate the word, it means intermission. It's temporary. Right? The second word that he uses in verse 29 is a word that means cessation. I didn't know what that word meant, so I had to look that up. But cessation means a permanent ceasing from strife. Right? So if I quote verse 28 to somebody, it's good. I'm quoting the Bible. It's good stuff. Amen. But what I'm literally quoting the word of God and leading this person to a position that's actually not going to be that pleasant for them. Why? Because the rest that they will experience will end. Hey, man, y'all, are you guys scared or something? Y'all know where I'm going with this, do you? The rest in verse 28, church, is temporary. Jesus said it. So here's what's interesting. The next thing that he says is what? Somebody read it. Shout it out loud. What's the next thing he says after that? Beginning of verse 29. Kaz, what do you got, bro? Take my yoke upon you, right? So we've all heard this before, but we're going to go through it just one more time, amen, maybe more than once. But a yoke, church, is a farm instrument. You tie horses together or oxen or cows or whatever it is, right? And so they it's this big wooden thing or different materials now they make it out of. It's got a pad on it, but these animals are down like this, and it goes over their neck, and there's a thing underneath that ties them into this thing, and there's this one, and then there's one on this side over here. And the whole point is to get these animals to walk together, right? And normally we don't do it anymore because we've got tractors and all these things. But back in the day, they would use these animals to tow a plow normally, or different things. But they used it to tow a plow in particular, and so that these two animals would have to work together. Everybody say together, yeah, together. So the way that you train these animals, if they're trained properly, is that one animal is trained to be the leader, and the other animal is trained to be the follower. Right? Even if you look at like a team of sled dogs up in Alaska, I don't know why those folks are crazy. It's cold in Connecticut. I don't want to go outside. Why would you go up there and ride a sled like 35 miles across nothing? I don't know. They need medication or something. I don't know. But right, if you look at all these sled dogs, there's like 8, 7, 8, 9 sled dogs. There's one dog that's also always the alpha dog, right? This dog that's out front, and all the other dogs are trained to follow this dog. If that dog runs into a ditch, guess what? The whole thing's going into a ditch. Is that right? So Jesus Church says it's my yoke, right? My yoke, meaning that Jesus is the lead oxen. He is the one calling the shots, right? What's interesting, if we keep reading, he says what? Because my, in verse 30, what? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we love quoting that one, don't we? I love, it's so funny to me that we take these three verses that really should be quoted together and we quote them all separately. It's so funny to me. We love quoting that one. Hey, come to Jesus, man, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Let's back up one verse and let's see what's going on, right? Because let's, church, let's just be honest. Let's raise your hand if you've ever thought that being a Christian was not easy. Come on, if you don't have your hand up, you're lying in church. Come on, everybody. There's some point, every one of us, we're like, man, this Christian thing is just, it's just not working. Right? We've hit something. The Lord's on us about something, or we've tried something, and it just blew up in our face. And this is what the Lord said to me. He says, look at this verse. I said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, right? But as I started thinking about this the other day, I'm seeing my old dog. Some of you didn't know my old dog. I had this little beagle. And this beagle, her nickname was Beelzebub. She had a demon, at least one. She might have had many. But that dog was the devil, for sure. Cute, right, man? The devil's not ugly, y'all. The devil's cute, like a dog. Because if dogs weren't cute, nobody would have them. Is that right? So my dog, man, if you opened the door, that thing would go like you shot it out of a cannon every time. And it was the most inconvenient times. One time it was a Sunday morning. It was a day like this outside. And it was a Sunday morning. We were getting ready to walk out the door to go to church. I opened the door and she got out and Mach 3. And she wouldn't come back. So at the time in our church, we were still doing slacks and like long shirts and all that stuff and shoes, nice shoes. So I'm sprinting down the sidewalk at 9 a.m. in the morning, not thinking very holy thoughts at that particular moment, screaming at this dog to come back. And it was like a quarter mile. I was in full sprint. I could sprint for a quarter mile. I could do it. I caught the dog, thought I was having a heart attack. Anyway, long story short, that dog, when we took her on a walk, she would yank on that leash nonstop. The moment the leash went, we didn't have the door open yet. You put the leash on her and she's choking herself nonstop. It didn't matter what she did, that dog would just yank on that leash all the time, you know? And the Lord said to me, the reason that sometimes my yoke doesn't feel so easy is because you're pulling on the chain. Because you're pulling on the chain. Right? How many people ever pulled on the chain? Right? The Lord says, you know God's on you about something. And he's like, no, come over, got this one. You're going, arr! Right? And then you back off a little bit. And you're like, all right, there's a little slack in the chain. Arr! You ever seen a really well-trained dog? I've heard you can train those things. I don't know. I've never, only on TV I've seen. I think it's a trick. They drug them on TV or something. But a really well-trained dog, church, will walk along next to its master with slack in the leash. Or without a leash. They just walk right along. And you say stop, and they stop, and they sit down. They do their, right? Amen? And you know what? It's kind of a weird picture. Am I calling us dogs this morning? I don't know, maybe. Jesus called a lady a dog in the Bible. So maybe I call y'all dogs. I don't know. But look at, honestly, church, in a way, this is what Jesus is trying to get us into a position to do. He says, get in the yoke with me, man. As long as you're playing your role, you're not the lead ox. You're the one that's supposed to follow. Right? He says, no, we need to go plow over here now. We need to go plow up that section over there about your parents. Yeah, no. We ain't going. No. Yeah. No, let's go talk about this over here. Right? In church, I don't know if you ever seen an animal that's not that does not how to know how to work properly in a yoke. What will happen is that they get all chafed up on the back of their neck, and it rubs them raw, and the skin starts peeling off, and they're bleeding. Is the yoke what's wrong, or is the behavior of the animal what's wrong? Right? Come on, I can tell you honestly, man, I've had many times in my walk with the Lord where he has gone after some really painful things in my past. Yeah? And you know what? It only hurts when I fight it. Is that right, church? Am I talking to anybody? It only hurts if you fight. You know, if you just be still and let him work. I mean, I don't know. I've never had major surgery, but if I ever went in for major surgery, I'd probably want to lay still on a table. right. If the guy's going, hey, man, we're going to open heart surgery. You're like, hang on. Whoa, stop. No, that's too, whoa, you know. He's going to cut something he probably shouldn't be cutting. Right? Man, we like to squirm. We squirm with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So the words that Jesus used right there in verse 30, that my yoke is easy, my burden is light, it's the words that mean this, which is interesting, comfortable or pleasant. That Jesus' yoke is comfortable or pleasant, but it's from a root word that means necessary or fitting. Right? So we got to get yoked with Jesus because it's necessary, right? I thought about another verse that says, Jesus says, if you do not deny yourself and take up your cross, you have what? No part of me, Jesus says, right? Deny yourself, man. Deny yourself. I read a devotional this morning where this guy was saying, look, we would say somebody, hey, man, I would die for you. And we think that's like heroic or romantic. And the guy says, how about you just deny yourself instead? Right? Because we say, I'll take a bullet for you, man. Well, okay, that's heroic, but you take a bullet and it's over. But imagine if you denied yourself every single day for the betterment of somebody else. Right? It's heroic, church, but I don't think that's what Jesus wants. Does Jesus want us to kill ourselves, or does he just want us to deny ourselves? Yeah? I want to make one more point here, and I'm just going to be a little bit quicker this morning because we have communion here. But my sermon really is titled this morning is Stay Green. Everybody say Stay Green. So in verse 29, the rest that we experience there, that's the cessation. That's this permanent rest for the what, church? The soul, right? Psyche is the Greek word. Mind, will, and emotions. Think about this. Does Jesus come right there and say, hey, man, come, everybody's who are in heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm meek and gentle, and you'll find rest for all your circumstances. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. And you're never going to have a problem again for the rest of your life. Live your best life now. 12 steps to a better you. Come on, church. No. Think about what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that there's something supernatural that's supposed to transpire inside me. Right? The rest, this permanent place where I no longer strive. There is no strife. There is no battle. There is no war. There's nothing going on, but it's not outside. It's inside. Right? We love, and I'm all for it, man. Hey, if something's going on that's not so pleasant, let's rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hey, man, I'm good for that. But as I said a couple weeks ago, we've turned the name of Jesus into a magic trick in the church. Like we see it whatever we want in Jesus' name. And God's like, oh, man, I got to do it now because they use the Jesus' name magic trick. Right? I mean, man alive, if that worked, I'd have like 6 Maseratis by now because I've tried it a few times, man. I really have, right? I'd have a house, a beach house in Maui for crying out loud or something, man. I mean, look it, in Jesus' name means in his likeness. That's what it means, man. Study it out. It means that I'm asking according to the will of the Father. Right? When he says, ask anything you want in my name and I'll certainly do it for you, that it doesn't mean what we've made it to mean, church. It means I can ask anything according to the will of God in his name, and he's going to get the ball rolling in that direction. See, we ask once and it doesn't happen in 5 minutes. We go, well, that didn't work. But man, am I making sense? Yeah. So as I said a moment ago, I'm all for rebuking circumstances. You know, if somebody's sick, lay hands on them, man. In Jesus' name, right? We're supposed to do that. But church, there are people in the Bible that were sick. Come on. Look, at some of you are like nodding your head. You know why? Because you've got physical ailments that people have laid hands on you more times than you can count, and they didn't go away. Now, you know what we do in churches like ours? Oh, man, they must not have enough faith. Maybe the preacher's in sin. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with the preacher. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with that guy. I don't know. Who's sinned? Was it you or your father or your mother? And you, oh, my goodness, church, come on. Man, Paul was probably going blind. Whatever's wrong with him, probably going blind. Isn't that crazy that God, he had seen God heal blind people. He had seen it with his own hands. Probably laid hands on some blind folks himself and seen them come back with sight. And then he loses it. Timothy's got some kind of stomach ailment that the Bible actually instructs him to have some wine once in a while. Praise God! It's one of my new favorite scriptures. Yes! I'm just kidding, everybody. Don't get all inside yourself. Come on. But church, look it. I got saved when the church said Christians don't drink. Christians don't drink. They also said men shouldn't have facial hair. Right over the pulpit. You're in trouble, bro. Right? I don't know, but just crazy stuff, man. We say all this stuff at church that we're like, if we actually had to back it up with the Bible, I think half the stuff we stand on doesn't even hold any water. Amen. Look, what's my point, church? Peter, the Bible says Peter was what? Led away captive, right? It was actually prophesied over his life. This is how you're going to die. Well, yikes. Hey, I got a word for you. This is how you're going to die. Wow, praise God, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Right? I mean, church, come on. When's the last time anybody went to church and got a word that wasn't something about God's going to bless you? I mean, come on, church, it's turned into a big bless me club, man. It's like if someone gives you a word that's the slightest bit negative, we're like, man, there's no way that's God because he wouldn't talk to me like that. Oh, my goodness, man. Look it. Peter, church, was led away captive. The rumors are, this is not in the Bible, so don't quote it like it's in the Bible, but rumors are that Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Right? Does Peter go, I rebuke that word in the name of Jesus? There's the magic trick, Jesus' name again. No, he just says, you know what? Why? You know why? Because he's a son. Whatever your will is, Father. Paul asked three times for his blindness to be taken away, and the Lord says, no. No. Not going to do it. Does Paul whine and cry and call a prayer meeting and skip church for 3 weeks? You know? No, man. He says, okay. This is God's will for my life. Because he's a son. Right? I said last Sunday, we were praying last Sunday morning, Lord, I'm starting to be more grateful that God does not give me what I want, but he gives me what I need. Because I'm getting old enough now, I've been around the block a few times, and I realize, man, if I'd got some of the stuff I asked for, it wouldn't have worked out so good. Because I thought it was really important then, but now I look back and it's like, nope, that definitely was not important at all. Amen. It would have probably messed my life up if God had given it to me. Right? John 16, 32 and 33 says this. This is supposed to be encouraging. I hope you guys are encouraged by this because it's supposed to be encouraging. John 16, 32, 33 says, behold, an hour is coming and has already come. Everybody say it's already come. For you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. So Jesus is specifically talking about his crucifixion right here. Amen, church? And yet, I am not alone, Jesus says, because the Father is with me. Could you imagine if we could get that? Come on, let's just be honest. I'm raising my hand. How many people felt alone just this week? It just don't matter what was going on, you just felt like, man, I just feel like I'm alone. Tell you what, man, I woke up this morning, it was real early, didn't sleep good. Woke up earlier this morning, and I felt so discouraged. Just my mind was racing 100 miles an hour. I'm honestly, like, it was hard for me to come to church this morning. My mind, it was by like, I was making coffee. Coffee didn't help. Right? Normally coffee, man, that stuff shuts right up after a good strong cup of coffee, man, right? I mean, but you know what I'm saying, church? I mean, it was some pretty heavy stuff this morning, right? But you know what I realized? The devil's going to come at you harder the closer you get to your breakthrough, man. It ain't God discouraging you. God ain't saying, hey, don't go to church today. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Right, right. God's saying, come on, man, I'm with you. Go get it. Right? Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that, everybody say so that, in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. Everybody say peace. In the world you have blessings. In the world you have great opportunities. Now, this is Jesus talking, church. In the world you have tribulation. But what's he say? Take courage, for I've overcome the world. You know what most of us do, most Christians I run into, when somebody got some tribulation in the world, we whine, because we're good at that. And I don't mean W-I-N-E. That would probably be all right if we did that. I mean with H in the middle. Come on, man. I mean, we have one bad thing happen at work. Pastor. Man alive. God's saying, will you stop whining and take some courage? Understand that Jesus himself said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But I know that there's one other guy in the Bible who wrote a bunch of books. And you know what he says about tribulation? Tribulation worketh patience. And that patience have its perfect work, Paul says. Character, all these things. You know what? If Christianity, church, was like all we had to do was get on the highway and set the cruise at 72, flip the moon roof open and turn on Hillsong, we would have zero character. Come on. That's easy, bro, right? It's like when it's like the GPS from the Holy Spirit says, hey, get off right now. You're like, yeah, but the exit's a mile up the highway. And he says, no, you get off right now. And you're like, it's all trees and there's a big ditch right there. He says, I know, get off. He says, throw that thing in four-wheel low, man, because you ain't going to make it in two-wheel drive. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Man, Christianity, church, is hard sometimes. It is scary. God's going to get on you by stuff that's not going to feel good. Amen. Last little section here. And then I got one more quick passage. We're going to have communion and go home. In Jesus' name. And try to not die in 100-degree heat. Let's just go down to the river and sit in the river for the afternoon. We'll grab some Subways, all right, and just sit in the river. Anyone going to need to baptize? We'll baptize you in the river today. There you go. So, but think about this, church, man. You know what Jesus is really getting at? And again, please hear me. I am 100% for taking authority over circumstances. I do it at my home. I go, somebody's sick, I'm in Jesus' name, boom. Take authority over it. But you know what? God's really interested in us. He says, why don't you start taking authority over yourself? Start taking authority over yourself. Start taking authority over your thought life. Start taking authority over your emotions. Start taking authority over your past and all the memories and all the junk. I'm not going to do that because so-and-so. Stop it. Dude, if God can make a donkey talk, it come on, church. Man, he is, look it, as a legal son, right? Legally, I have authority over darkness. Right? The moment I get saved, I can cast a demon out because I have authority to do that. Because I'm not in the kingdom of darkness anymore. I'm in the kingdom of his son. Right? That's a greater kingdom than the kingdom of darkness. That means that kingdom has more authority. Is that right, church? Yeah? Right? But see, the thing is, church, that is not the goal, man. The goal is that we are conformed to the image of his son. That is a process, not an event. Can I get an amen on that one, right? You know where I got to start rebuking is myself. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, hey, if you're the Son of Man, turn these stones into bread, blah, 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 right? What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Takes him up to the top of the temple. Hey, jump off this thing. If you're the Son of Man, jump off this, because it's written, God will not allow you to dash your foot against a stone. Just as it's also written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He takes him up on the mountain, shows him all the cities of the world. And he says what? Oh, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these cities. And Jesus says, get away from me, Satan, because it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God and him only. Church, you know what? We always think that he's rebuking the devil with that, because, and he is. But the Lord said to me, son, the Bible is not written to the devil. It's written to you. You know, Jesus is, you know, he's rebuking. He's rebuking his own flesh. You do not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. You. I'm not going to get drawn into that. So, yeah, I'm hungry 40 days, man. I'm hungry. But this thing, my belly is not going to drive my decision. Right? Sometimes, church, we yell at the devil what the Bible says. He's like, I know what the Bible says. How about you tell yourself what the Bible says? Yeah? Right? Jeremiah 17, Pastor Al touched on this last Sunday. And I just want to hit this real quick. This is stay green, right? Stay green. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, almost done right here. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by stream. Right? So Pastor Al last Sunday was preaching about being planted in oaks of righteousness in Isaiah, right? And but look at what Jeremiah says here. And he says, and, everybody say and. And, right? So this is a man who is planted by the water, extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. How appropriate this Sunday. Man, we was outside yesterday at Madeline's birthday party, pool party. Man, am I glad there was a pool there, because I was literally standing in the shade breathing with sweat pouring down my face. My lungs were making me sweat. I didn't know your lungs could make you sweat. That's ridiculous. Man, we were in the pool for like an hour and a half, and it was, I'm like, man, what a beautiful day. We were out of the pool for like 3 minutes. Man, is it hot out here. But look at what it says, church. Look at, even in the heat, when the heat comes, its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. New Living Translation words it like this. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Church, this is what I want to just leave you with this morning. We're going to dig into this more for the next few weeks. But look it. We've got to drop the lie that if I am running hard, I mean, I can be completely head over heels, madly in love with God, completely obedient to what the Lord wants me to do every single day, all day long, and I could have some really awful circumstances coming at my life. Some reason, there's this thing that's infiltrated the church today in certain circles, amen, that if I'm doing what God wants me to do, my life's going to be amazing. My goodness, read the guys in the Bible. That is not what happened to those guys. Right, we've got to understand, church, can God reward us here on earth? Absolutely, but my goodness, man, there is There's a country song. I listen to country a little bit. There's a country song, and this guy's writing a song about this. He loves this woman, and he's saying, I don't know how heaven could be better than this. And I'm like, man, are you on something, bro, or what? Like, this girl, she's better than heaven. Oh, my God, no. Man, right? Come on, man. I'm looking forward to someday to go on some really nice vacation somewhere, sit on a beach, you know, and just, whoo. That's not like heaven, man. It'd be nice, but it ain't heaven. Right, church? We've got to understand that whatever happens to us here, whatever we suffer, whatever we go through, man, that the reward, the Bible says there's a reward stored up for you in heaven. In heaven. In heaven. Everybody say in heaven. How long do I need to wait for that? I don't know. But, you know, once you get there, it don't matter. We've lost sight of that. Can I get an amen, man? We've lost sight of it, man. Look it, I'm 40. I tell you what, I'm going to blink. I'm going to be 80. Man alive, I'm like, where did 40 years go? I've got 3.5 kids, man. I mean, for crying out loud, I don't know what happened. I mean, maybe it's like 3 2/3 at this point. I don't know how big that one bacon is. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying, church? I mean, for crying out loud, where did 40 years go, for crying out loud? Anybody 50? Where did 50 years go? 60? What on earth? We got some, I won't even say old Pastor Alice. He's getting up there, man. But come on. He looks good, right? Come on, church. But you know what I'm saying? We're going to look back and go, life is a vapor, man. You're here, poof, and gone, poof. We're so focused on earth and what's going on earth, and we should be, man. We should be letting the kingdom come out of us all the time. But I'm saying to you that I think what's going on is that we need to get a lot more kingdom working in our heart and stop being so susceptible to years of drought. Stop being so susceptible to the heat going on around us. Stop being so susceptible to months, the Bible says right here, of drought. Because you know what? A son can stay green, man. A son can keep bearing fruit. Because you know what? A son has got his roots down the right thing. If I'm just serving God, I'm going to get messed up when it dries out. But if I'm a son, I'm pulling from the right stuff, right? If I'm a son, I know that there's an inheritance waiting for me. If I'm a son, I know that my daddy ain't going to let something bad happen to me. He might let some stuff come at me that's going to get me a little stronger. He might let some stuff come at me that's going to get me moving through some stuff. He says, I need to teach you something. So I'm going to let that get at you a little bit, but you're going to make it because you're my son.